Well, good morning. Just think, in two more days it's going to be Christmas. And some people say it's the most exciting time of the year. Everybody loves Christmas, or at least loves the holidays. And you remember when you were a kid, how exciting this time was? Do you remember how exciting it was to know that Christmas was coming? I remember being a kid, and sometimes it's just actually too much to handle. I remember as a kid thinking 2 weeks off from school. 2 weeks off from school, that was a big thing for me, and that was one of my favorite parts of Christmas. And of course, the presents. I mean, the presents we got when we were kids, I remember the presents, and they were such a wonderful time of the year. Like, enjoy Christmas, the presents, the off from school, hanging out with the family. It was just a great time. And when we were kids, my brother, I had an older brother and a younger sister, and we would get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and our parents' rule was 7, but we would always sneak out at 5, and we'd go look under the tree at our gifts, and our parents would get up around 7 o'clock, and then we would actually start opening gifts. But I remember when I was 10 years old. Do you remember when you were a kid, the TV commercials would help you know what you wanted for Christmas? Do you remember that, the TV commercials? And there was this one TV commercial. I remember distinctly today, this one TV commercial showed the most awesome toy in the world. It was called Rudy the Robot. Rudy the Robot was the best gift that you can ever imagine. And I remember watching the TV commercials and watching that boy play with Rudy the Robot. And he was having so much fun. He loved it so much that he would have so much fun. And they did everything together. I can see they were building a real relationship with each other. And the neighborhood kids would come over and play with Rudy the Robot. And I bet you anything that this boy was the coolest kid in town because he had Rudy the Robot. And that TV commercial showed Rudy the Robot doing so many things. It was the most awesome toy in the world. And after seeing that kid have so much fun, I needed Rudy the Robot for Christmas. I needed it more than anything else. I wouldn't ask my mom. I said, Mom, I need Rudy the Robot for Christmas. I need it more than anything else. If that's the only thing I get, it has to be Rudy the Robot. And my mom said, okay, we'll see. So the next day, I said to Mom again, Mom, I really need Rudy the Robot. My life will not be complete without Rudy the Robot. And my mom said again, we'll see. And I'm one of these kids that would pester and bug. So I pester and I bug my mom for Rudy the Robot. And I'd even ask my brother and sister, because sometimes you actually overhear your parents talking about Christmas gifts. So I asked my brother and sister, did you hear anything? Any news about Rudy the Robot? Am I going to get it? And they said, no, we didn't hear it. And I just couldn't wait for Christmas. And now it's Christmas Eve, and I'm crawling out of my skin. I am just so excited to start my relationship with Rudy the Robot the next morning. It's Christmas morning, and it's 5 o'clock in the morning, and like usual, me and my brother and sister, we get up, and we get out of our bed. We go into the living room. My parents are still sleeping. We're checking out the presents. Now, they're all wrapped, so you can't see what they are. But I'm looking, and there it was, a box about this big. It was just the perfect size for Rudy the Robot. So I went to it, my name was on it, I picked up that box, and I got so disappointed for a second because it was a light box. And if you got a robot, it's got to be heavy, right? Robots have to be heavy. So I picked up that box, and it was light, and I go, oh no. But I said it had to be Rudy the Robot because there was no other boxes that size that would fit Rudy the Robot under the tree. So I said, this has to be Rudy the Robot. So 7 o'clock finally came. My parents got up, and we went under the tree, and it was my turn to open the present, and I opened, got that box. I ripped open the wrapping. I looked, and there it was. Rudy the Robot was staring straight at me, eye to eye. So right away, I open up the box. I take Rudy the Robot out. I open up, get a screwdriver, open up the battery compartment. I put new batteries in, and I was ready to start my relationship with Rudy the Robot. It was the coolest thing. I couldn't believe I actually owned Rudy the Robot. And right now we got a video, just for short video. This is Rudy the Robot.
Thank you.
3D robots. I put the battery in. I start to play with them, and you can see all he would do, he would walk forward until he hit the wall or furniture. That little thing would slide in, and he would go backwards. And he would walk backwards again until he hit the furniture or a wall, and the thing would slide in, and he would go forward. And I think I played with Rudy the Robots for exactly 10 minutes on Christmas Day. And it was one of the most disappointing present I ever got. Rudy the Robot was supposed to be the best ever Christmas present. And instead, I think it was one of my worst. And to this day, believe it or not, my brother and sister still pick on me for Rudy the Robot. It was one of the worst presents I ever got. But today, we are going to look at the best Christmas present of all times. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for who you are. We thank you for your love. We thank you for sending Jesus, Lord, and we thank you for Crossroads here and the people here, our church family, that we get to spend this time together, Lord. I just pray right now, you just fill me with your Holy Spirit to help me deliver a message that's to be honoring to you, Lord. And I pray that the words that you help me say, Lord, will be honoring to you and also help people here to just get a little bit closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, what is the purpose of Christmas? What is the purpose of Christmas? Each year on December 25th, we celebrate Christmas. And people all over the world are doing the same thing today. People all over the world are giving out gifts. And they're getting together with their family. And businesses are closing down for one day on Christmas Day. And in spite of what the world's tried to do, no matter how much they try to take Jesus out of Christmas, Christmas Day is still different than any other day of the year. It's still completely different than any other day of the year. In fact, Wegmans closes on Christmas Day. Walmart closes. Factory closes. There's no Black Friday at the end of the day. There's no Black Friday. Nobody is calling you on the phone. If you think about it, on Christmas Day, except for friends and family who are calling because they want to give you a little joy, nobody's calling you. Your work isn't calling you. Nobody, telemarketers don't call you on Christmas morning. Nobody is calling on Christmas Day. The airports are empty. And if you drive on the roads in the afternoon on Christmas, they are empty. Nobody's there. In fact, factories will close for the whole Christmas week. And if you think about it, from Christmas Eve to Christmas night, our life stops. We don't think about anything else. Our life stops. We're engulfed with what we're doing that day. We're not thinking about work. We're not thinking about other things. The whole world shuts down for that one day, and we spend time, hopefully, with our family. And there's no other holiday, no other day is treated like Christmas Day. Maybe for except Easter, but we'll talk about that on another day. So what is the purpose of Christmas? And if you answer Jesus, then of course you would be right. So if you would, open your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 26. And it said, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent an angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel went to her and said, greetings, you are highly favored, and the Lord is with you. Now we hear these verses, we read these verses, we hear them at least a bunch of times during the Christmas season, and it's a very nice verses to read during Christmas season, but do we just brush them off? Do we just hear them because we've heard them for so many years? Do we just brush them off? Or do we start to build our faith around these words? Let's read on verse 29. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting that might be. But the angel said to her, don't be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God. Now Mary found favor with God, the angel said. Two times he said to Mary, you found favor in God. In verse 28 and in verse 30, angel Gabriel said, you have found favor with God. And the Bible doesn't really talk a lot about Mary and where she came from, but history tells us that she was a poor person, born into a poor family, born in a poor town. There was nothing special about Mary. She had nothing special going for her, except she found favor in God, because she was always obedient to God. So what is the purpose of Christmas? If we go back to the beginning of the Bible, open the Bibles to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, we're going to read from verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will surely die." Now this is God talking to Adam. God is talking to Adam, and he's telling him, you can eat from any tree in the garden, but don't eat from this one. Don't eat from this one. And if we read down a little farther, verse 20 through 25 talks about when God actually created Eve. And Adam finally got his better half, finally got his helpmate. And we jump all the way to chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animal that the Lord has made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from the tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat from the tree that's in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." And notice how Eve, she adds on to God's commands, because in verse 2:17, God said, "Don't eat the fruit." And Eve said in verse 3 of chapter 3, Eve said that God said, don't eat it or don't even touch it. So she's adding to God's word. But the really cool thing is here, it's just a simple, simple temptation. Satan is just doing a simple temptation to them and saying to Eve and Adam, did God really say that? Did God really say that? And isn't that how sin starts in our own lives? Did God really say that? Did God say we really can't do that? I mean, it's 2018. It's over 2,000 years since the New Testament was written. And then, do we really have to follow God's word that much? I mean, it's a different world than it was back then. Does God's word still say we can't do the stuff that it says in the New Testament? Is it really that bad? Is it really that bad? I mean, I know other Christians doing the same sin that I'm struggling with. And I know it doesn't hurt anybody. Is it really that bad? And I bet you Eve said to herself, what's the big deal? What is the big deal? It's just a piece of fruit. How could it hurt me? How can it hurt me? Let's look at verse 4 of chapter 3. "You will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows when you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When a woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasure to the eyes, and also desiring for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her and ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. So Eve ate the fruit. And we've all seen this before. We've all seen and know that Adam was standing right next to Eve at that time when the devil was tempting her. He was also tempting Adam at the same time. And that's why God calls this Adam's sin, because it was his job to protect. Now, I'm not sure if Eve actually even heard God's word say, don't eat to it, and just her husband told him. But God told Adam for sure. And it was his job to trust God. His job. Satan tricked both of them, and they trusted in Satan instead of God. And when we think about sin, and we think about it, and we stay on the outside of it, sin, and we just look in, and we're not saying if we should touch it or not, should we go there, and we're pondering, and the devil's putting these thoughts in our head, and we're not sure we want to get there or not, and we're looking at it. I got a story to tell you about my first dog, the first dog I've ever had. When I was 21 years old, my parents bought me a dog, a puppy, for my birthday. It was a black lab. And she was the cutest little puppy in the whole world. And she was a female. And I named her Buford. Don't ask me why. She was a girl, but I gave her a guy's name. And at that time, there was a movie called Walking Tall. And it was the main character was Buford T. Pusser. And I always loved that movie. For some reason, I named my dog Buford after him, even though he was a she. So Buford was a great lab, a great dog, and she stayed in the house a lot, and we also had a nice chain in our backyard, and this was before invisible fence was invented, and so she can go in the backyard, she can go into the garage, back and forth, get in and out of the weather. And one day, I notice this cat is sitting in our backyard, and he's sitting right in the middle of our backyard, and Buford hated cats, and she went running as fast as she could towards that cat, and just before she got to the cat, she got the end of her chain, and her neck snapped back, her feet came out from underneath her, and she landed straight on her back. And I thought she broke her neck, but she got right back up, and she starts barking at the cat, and the cat I swear I could look at that cat, and that calf was snickering and laughing at the dog. You can just tell that she thought it was funny. So don't you know, the next night, that cat comes back again, and Buford does the same thing. She goes running as fast as she can, gets to the end of her chain, boom, her head snaps back, her feet come out from underneath her, and she lands straight on her back. And that cat is just laughing as hard as the cat can laugh, if a cat was laughing. This happened 3 or 4 nights in a row. This happened. This cat would come every night around 6 o'clock at dinner time. And I said, this got to stop. So what I thought of doing, I added 10 feet of chain to my dog's leash. So sure enough, after dinner, that cat sat where cat always sat, and it was as proud as he can be. He's sitting there, and Buford, she's just a crazy dog, and she starts running after that cat. She's going straight as hard as she can, and she actually runs and overshoots the cat. She runs past the cat, right over the top of the cat, again, hits the end of her leash, bounces on her back, and the cat is just sitting there in daze, and the cat doesn't know what just happened. And the cat literally is frozen for a second and then takes off as fast as she can. And that cat was just toying with the dog, just like we toy with sin. And we stay on the outside and we look at it and we wonder, should we do it? Should we not do it? We toy, and sometimes we do it. A lot of times we do it. And that cat almost lost his life because of what he was doing, toying with that dog. And we do lose our lives when we play with sin. We do lose our lives. So what is the purpose of Christmas? What's the purpose of Christmas? Genesis 3:14. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. And you will crawl on your belly and you will eat the dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and her, and he will crush your head and you will strike his heel. This is the start of the purpose of Christmas. God is saying to Satan, you brought sin into this world, but I am going to end it. I am going to take it out. Satan, you bruised the heel of Jesus, but Jesus will crush your head. Because of man's sin, God had to send a Savior. And that Savior came in the form of a baby. So if we turn back to Luke chapter 1, verse 29. It said, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, don't be afraid. You have found favor with God, and you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. This is who God is talking about in Genesis 3:15. Jesus, the one who is going to crush Satan's head. And who is this Jesus? Verse 32, jump down to 32. It says, he will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. It says Jesus will reign forever. How many kings in the Bible would have loved to hear that? How many dictators in history, how many kings in history would have loved to hear God say to them, you will reign forever. You will be in charge of your people forever. What a guarantee that God gave Jesus. And God was the only one who could make a promise like that, and the only one who can keep that promise. So what is the purpose of Christmas? It's when the Father knows from eternity past that he knows for a fact that humans, people like us, are going to mess up, that we are going to sin. He knows for a fact that we are going to do that. He knew long before he ever created man that we would mess up. He knew long before he ever created this earth, this world, that we'd mess up. He knew long before he ever created the universe, before he ever created Satan and Gabriel and all the angels, he knew that we were going to mess up. And knowing that, he let Adam sin because he gave him free will. He let him sin and let him make his own choice, just like he lets us make our choice because we have that same free will and we are allowed to sin. And he knew that he was going to have to send Jesus to come down to earth and save the world. And he knew that Jesus was going to have to leave eternity, leave the power to go inside the universe and outside the universe and go live inside Mary's womb. He knew he'd have to do that. And I can't tell you how the God of the universe can actually physically take Jesus and physically put him inside Mary's womb and live in there. I can't tell you how God could do that, but I can tell you why he did it. I can tell you why he did it, because God loves us more than we ever know. God loves us more than we love him. God loves us more than we love anybody, and God loves us more than we even love ourselves. So he had to come as a human to save us from our sins. So what is the purpose of Christmas? What's the purpose? I can tell you what is not the purpose. The not the purpose is traditions. Traditions are great and they can be good, but they're not the reason for the season. Traditions are not the reason. See, a lot of people have traditions. One of our traditions is, it's a simple one, we have lasagna every single day at Christmas for dinner. We have lasagna. And the reason we have lasagna is because having six kids in the morning, we used to do like a Thanksgiving dinner every Christmas, and when you got six kids and they're all opening up the presents and everything's going crazy and you got to help them build this and help them get this thing set up and help this, and then you got to cook a full Thanksgiving dinner, it was just too much. So Sandy Niles makes his lasagna on the day before Christmas, and we just pop it in the oven and it's a one dish meal, and we just have some paper plates and life is good. So, and I know Mike, he's got his tradition. Every year he goes and buys a big prime rib, and all his brothers and his spouses get together, and he prepares it 3 days ahead of time. He marinates it and gets it all ready and gets it just perfect. So when they cook it on Christmas Eve, it's a great meal. And I've been trying really hard to be an honorary member of Mike's family because I just love prime ribs. But so far, he hasn't let me in yet, but I'm working on it. We have so many traditions. I mean, most of us have traditions of giving out presents. And Crossroads, we have the tradition of going Christmas caroling. We've been doing that. Phil's been heading it up, and we've been going Christmas caroling every year, and it's been fun. And people put on Christmas lights, and they put Christmas cards they mail out. I mean, there's hundreds and hundreds of different Christmas traditions, and that is so great. It's okay to have them. But the most important tradition that we need to have is celebrating Jesus' birthday. That's the most important tradition. So what is the purpose of Christmas? What's the purpose? Luke 2, verse 4. And Joseph also went to Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary and his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the day was accomplished that she should be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no more room in the inn. Jesus came in human form. God himself came in human form, and he was still 100% God and 100% man, the Savior of the world. And I like how the Bible just throws in that last line in verse 7. It said, and because there was no more room in the inn. Just kind of like throw that in. Like it wasn't that big of a deal. And I always wonder what Joseph is going through at this point. He's got Mary, who's about ready to give birth to their first son any minute, any hour, and he's going door to door looking for a place to stay. Go to door, the hotels, the houses, everything is booked. Nobody has room. And the only place they get is this barn with animals. And he wants a nice, clean, sterile place that he can have his son, that Mary can deliver this baby in safety. And I'm thinking that Joseph is thinking, God, come on now. This is your son. This can't be your plan. To have this baby in a barn, this can't be your plan. And we all know John 3:16, but the verse after John 3:16 is so powerful. It says, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And it's so fitting that Jesus was born in a barn, not in royalty, not in a palace, not in a castle. He came to earth as a servant. He came to earth as a servant. And he came to earth for one reason only, to save us from our sins, to save us from our sins. And Christmas can be fun, and Christmas can be beautiful. It's a beautiful time of year. Houses are lit up. Houses are decorated very nicely. People seem to be more friendly at Christmas time. And I know when you're talking going to the mall, not everybody's friendly. But when you actually talk to people, and you can have nice conversations with people. My customers that I go and I work at their houses are in better moods. Christmas is a happy time of year. People are more open. I sat down to a guy, we went shopping, and there was a man just sitting by his chair, and I was bold and said, I'm just going to go sit to him, talk to him. And we had this great conversation about football. And it was just, people are so more open. You know, Sandy's constantly asking people, are you all set up for Christmas? Are you ready for Christmas? And people are talking. People are more friendlier at Christmas time. And there's Christmas cookies no matter where you go. There's Christmas cookies. And if you're lucky, you might even get a Christmas bonus from your employee. But we always get more time off from work. And Christmas can be fun. And this lady who used to cut my hair, she always would take Christmas to the next level. She thought Christmas was the best time in the world. She loved Christmas. She where she cut her hair in her basement in her little shop, she would play Christmas music nonstop from Thanksgiving to Christmas. So you go there and you're sitting there, and she used to take forever. You have to wait along. So you listen to Christmas music for about 45 minutes to 2 hours. It was a long time in her place. But so you listen to Christmas music. She would love shopping. She decorated every nook and cranny of her house. She had Christmas lights all over the place. She would never buy anything online because she wanted the experience to go shopping and see the people and buy the gifts in person. And she would love giving out presents. She really loved the giving out presents and watching her kids and her family members' eyes open up when they see those presents. And she loved Christmas so much. She loved every part about Christmas. But she didn't know Jesus. She didn't know the reason why she was doing all that stuff. She didn't know Jesus. Christmas can be fun to many, many different people. Christmas can be fun to many different people. And people can look at it completely different ways. But what is the purpose of Christmas? What is the purpose? Luke 2:11. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Jesus is the reason for the season. And when you think about what he actually did, when you actually ponder on it and think about what he really did for us, it is unbelievable. He left heaven. He left eternity. He was not bound by time up there. He came to earth, and he was limited himself. He came to earth in the form of a man, in the form of a boy, and he lived inside a womb. And he limited himself. He was not allowing himself to do the stuff he can do. And sure, he did great miracles here on earth. He fed the 5,000. He turned water into wine. He let the blind people see. He healed the ears of the deaf people. He let the crippled people walk. He even raised some people from the dead. And when we look at that, it's so impressive. That's so impressive to think about what he did when he was here on earth, because we can't do anything like that. And I'm trying to think of an illustration that kind of like shows how much God limits himself, and there's really no good illustration compared to that. But I was trying to think, and the best thing I can come up with, that if you really like going to magic shows, and you like magic shows and illusions, and you got tickets to the David Copperfield show, and you go to David Copperfield, and you're there, and you're all in the seats, and you're so excited because it's going to start any second, and the curtain opens up, and David Copperfield walks onto the stage, and then he walks off the stage, down the stairs, over to where you're standing, and he just pulls out a deck of cards and does a very simple card trick. And that's all he does. Jesus limited himself. He limited himself to what he can do here on earth for us. He came out down to earth to save us from our sins. And when we look at it with the right perspective, it is a major, major deal. If you guys spend any time with me at my house, you would see that I love my dog Morgan very much. You would see right away that how much I loved her. And on November 16th of this year, Morgan died unexpectedly. We knew she had cancer, but the veterinarian said that she had more time. And on November 16th, she just couldn't breathe, and we rushed her to the veterinarian, and when she got there, we found out that she had a tumor on her heart, and that tumor burst, and she died right that day. And when she died, I'll be honest with you, it rocked my world. It rocked my world. And even today, when I go home every day, it's very hard because Morgan would always be on the other side of that door, wagging her tail and very excited to see me. And I loved her very much. Our whole family loved her very much. And somehow, if God came down to earth and talked to me face to face, and he says to me, "Steve, did you love Morgan?" And I say, "Lord, you know I did. You know I did. Would you like her back?" I said, "Lord, you know I would. You know I would." "Well, you can have her back. All you got to do is live inside a dog's body for 33 months. Not 33 years like I had to, but I want you to live in a dog's body for 33 months. And when you come out of those 33 months, you can have Morgan back for the rest of your life." And I'd have to look at Jesus and say, "No, I didn't love her that much. I didn't love her that much to go inside a dog's body for 33 months. And you might say, "Steve, that is not a fair comparison, because a dog is not a human. A dog is not can do the things that man can do. Not a fair comparison that you would go into a dog, but Jesus came into as a man, and humans can do so much more than dogs. So it's not a fair comparison, and you're right. It wouldn't be a fair comparison at all. Because if it was a fair comparison, Jesus wouldn't come into this world as a man. He'd come in as maybe like an ant or even some lower life form. Because when you look at the difference between us and God, there is no fair comparison. But Jesus did limit himself. He limited himself and he became a man for us. And when God said to him, what he had to do, he had to become a baby. He had to live on this earth for 33 years. He had to be tortured and beaten and spit on. And when God said to him, "You got to do that to save our people," Jesus didn't say, "No, I don't love them enough." Jesus didn't say that at all. Jesus says, "Yes, I will give up my life for them. I will give up my life so they can live." Jesus was born on Christmas Day so we can have eternal life. And if we fast forward to Easter, Jesus died on that cross to pay for our sins, to pay for our sins. And if we just believe in that, if we just believe that we are sinners, believe that our sins cause us death, our sins cause us hell, if we just believe that and we turn from our sins and let God pay for those sins for us, if we just turn from our sins and trust in him and repent and let God be the Lord of our life, not us, and we turn to Jesus, we can have eternal life. We can accept him as our Lord and Savior, and we can have eternal life. Christmas is different for everybody. Christmas is different to everybody, and that's okay. That's okay. So whether you're Chevy Chase in the movie Christmas Vacation, where you go completely bonkers and you do everything there is for Christmas, or if you're very low key, or you're somewhere in the middle, it's okay. It's okay. Christmas to you is what it is. But you need to remember one thing. You need to remember one thing. What is the real purpose for Christmas? Jesus is the present that will last eternity. And we need to accept him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you sent your one and only Son down here to live a life that we can only imagine is a terrible life compared to where he was before. Lord, we thank you for that. And we know why you did that, Lord. We know why you did that because your love for us. And because we are sinners, you had to do that, Lord. Each and every one of us has sinned. And each and every one of us deserve hell, Lord. And you sent Jesus Christ to die on that cross. You sent him down to earth. And we'll never, ever, in a zillion years, be able to repay you for that, Lord. And we thank you for that, Lord. The reason we are here on Christmas Day and we celebrate Christmas is because of you, Lord. And I ask that you would help me and help everybody in this room to remember that. And when we get together with our families and friends and coworkers, that we let them know why we celebrate Christmas. Let them know that you are the reason for the season. You are the only way to heaven, Lord. And we just let them know why we're celebrating Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen.